Yeah, it is sad because I feel like kind of maybe just a little like my generation feels that love is sex. And yes, you do that when you do love somebody, but that's not what makes love. And that's, I think, the big disconnect in
Well,
my
sex, I think, in your
generation.
generation has become transactional,
Yeah,
you
so
know,
meaningless.
versus intimacy,
Oh, yeah, so
right?
meaningless. And it's so casual. It's so normal that
Yeah,
what?
it's
Like
crazy how far we've gone down that path, you know, as a society, as a culture, you know, as whatever it was. And I think the influences besides social media, I think it's definitely music. I think it's definitely movies and film. I think
Oh,
there's a
yeah.
lot of outside noise that kind of then you see, oh my God, it's so amazing if you and the problem is that, you know, with you, whoever you're going to do life with, yes, having a super healthy sex life is really important. But that's like one point of what that is. Everything else, I think, and
Yeah.
that's my concern too about Gen Z is that, you know, I think you said it right, is like they think that, you know, that love equals sex.
She's truly a breath of fresh air. Tracy ignites dreams. And when you walk away from a meeting with Tracy Martin, you walk away with what I call a ripple effect.
And the type of energy that was radiating from her was like a ripple effect. I never met someone like her before, and I knew that her intentions were pure, and she spoke nothing but the truth.
I couldn't imagine, honestly, anybody else who I've ever met in my life being as helpful as Tracy's been towards me and the rest of my family.
Whatever problem you've got, however dark it may be, there is no judgment, there is no finger pointing, there is only healing.
Check in with Tracy. Do the work. You got this.
Welcome to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. This podcast exists to amplify the voices of Gen Z and those that are creating change in the world. To call parents to action in raising healthy, whole young adults, and to counteract the current cultural narrative that is giving you permission and at times encouraging you to live an immoral and mediocre life. I'm not calling you out, I'm calling you to action in your own life. A few years ago, a friend of mine said to me, "Hey T, you're the stone that's thrown in the water, and the clients that you work with and the people that hear you speak are the ripple effect that go out and create change in the world." That's what I'm doing. I'm calling you to action and calling you to create your own ripple effect of change.
Hello, and welcome back to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. And if you have been following us for any length of time, because we did just launch, you know that we love having transparent conversations. Conversations about topics that are all over the map today, but more importantly, that are really important to Gen Z and their families. So I have in the studio today Ellie Nichols. I've known Ellie for a long time. Our relationship is not only coach and client, but also friends, and I've watched her grow up, and I think that her voice is really important for you to hear today and what's going on in the world. So I will let Ellie give you a little bit of background on her.
Yeah, so I'm a student at ASU and I'm 19 and I grew up in a very conservative family. And yeah, just like we always say, seek truth.
Seek truth. And that's one of the reasons why, honestly, we do the podcast is to be able to have these questions. You guys that are doing college or doing life together all over the map and listening to social media, listening to other narratives, I want you to find your way and your truth and be able to speak on that. So I want to talk a little bit about college life on ASU campus. So tell me, because you mentioned you grew up in a conservative home. So tell me, how does that align with you and how do you handle some of the different things that goes on in the colleges today? And how does that sound like in your world? What does it mean to you when you kind of buck up against different things?
Well, I think going into college, you know, you have this one, like, I guess, picture of what it's going to be like, and then you get there, and it's obviously different, and kind of like I said to you in the past, like it's, you know, all these students follow this one narrative, but deep down they're not following their truth. And it kind of speaks for itself. It's very obvious and you can
Yeah.
see it firsthand.
Do you think it's hard? I mean, I obviously know your foundational beliefs in that. Do you think it's hard for kids your age in the environment today to actually be able to say what they really think and what they really want for themselves?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I mean, cancel culture, I mean, it goes a lot more than on social media in person. I mean, a lot of the times, like, your teachers or professors are teaching you something and you can't speak your truth, or, you know, it's going to lower your grades. And I mean, just really anywhere, you can't really talk about what you want or what your truth is, or, you know, and it's really sad.
Yeah, I've heard that before with the professors, to where mm-hmm. you go and you have a specific curriculum, and how you would write an essay or how you would write something that was really important to you,
mm-hmm.
you kind of audit yourself.
Yeah,
before you do it.
I mean, it's really sad. It's, you know, I'm taking, you know, the writing classes and women's right classes, and I think in almost any class you have to write a paper. They always make it very political, and they try to draw you towards one direction, whether it's your truth or not, and, you know, you just kind of have to make it work. And I always try to, you know, write my truth and kind of, they almost like kind of flip the narrative to where I'm saying what's right, and it kind of shows for itself that, you know, maybe not all universities want you to go both ways or
yeah.
tell the truth, really.
Well, and I think that's something, what you just said, it's like you have an assignment, and then you have to take a thought process before you actually write it, and which goes back to, what is the college and the professors, what is their whole goal in the first place? Is to give you an education.
Yeah.
Right? So the politics part of it, the seeking truth part of it, should be individual.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
No. I really feel like there is, I mean, yeah, it's school, but there's not a lot of education.
Yeah.
There's really not. I mean, you know, I go to class and everything, and I would say I really haven't learned anything that is, like, new to me. It's just kind of a repeat, and if they are teaching something, it's going to be their way or no way, really.
Yeah. Know? They kind of tell you what to think.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than actually encourage you on how to think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll get an assignment for a paper, and, like, in my head, I know what I want to write about. I know what I want to say, and, you know, all the truth I want to speak, but I kind of have to go back and reflect and be like, all right, well, is this going to be acceptable? And it's usually not, and it's kind of sad,
because yeah.
I don't know, I'm always someone that wants to speak my truth, but when you're in a position where you can't, and simply because your grades, and then that also goes back on, like, the money that you're spending for college, it's sad.
Yeah, it is, and I think it goes back to, is it really a political conversation, or has it been made political, versus it's really more about morals and values and
mm-hmm.
how we are to live in the world as humans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a lot of it, it's like, you know, you want to say one thing, and you know what's morally correct. And obviously, like, I think it's gone from education to now political, and you can't say what's right, because what's right is wrong. Now.
Yeah.
So.
if the government tells you to do it, you go the opposite way.
Yeah.
And then that's usually the best way.
Yeah.
It is. So your friend group, and since you've been there, because you're a sophomore,
mm-hmm.
right? So what have you learned about, like, because I always talk to my clients and my teens about, like, high school is a blip on your screen, as we know.
Yeah.
Right? And typically, it's, I believe high school is a really bad social experiment nowadays.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
And so then we go into college. So it's like we want to have that transition of leaving everything behind in high school, not dragging all that crazy shit into college, right? So what have you learned about yourself and about your friend group, whether they stayed or didn't stay with you? What have you learned about yourself in that particular growth part?
I think the biggest thing I've learned is that the whole college culture, kind of like hookup culture and all the stuff that I see, you know, my friends participating in, it's not for me. It is not. And I don't want to have anything a part of do with it. And I just think it's like, kind of like you said, like, you know, you go from high school to college. And I guess for me, it's like, I'm hoping it would be different, but it's almost like, it's, to me, it's a little bit of the same,
mm-hmm.
but now it's more drugs, sex, politics. That's it.
Yeah.
Then we're, you know, I feel like high school was based off of, like, popularity, and now it's, like, just kind of like high school on steroids.
Yeah. It kind of brings the quote unquote adult topics into college, but they're not ready to have those conversations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At all. I mean, and even like when you look at like the party landscape, I hear so many times where, well, I can't build friends in college unless I go sorority or frat.
Yeah.
And then if I do that, then I'm only in that particular mindset and mm-hmm. it takes over my world. So I know you did Rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think, what was like your takeaway from that experience? And again, everybody's experience is different.
Oh, yeah.
But I hear this time and time again.
And I think it also kind of depends on what school you go to. And I know that ASU is a big party school. I didn't go there for partying, though. You know, I went there for an education, but that's not really what I'm getting at. But I think the biggest thing I took away from the whole sorority rush process is that, you know, they sit there and they tell you, like, be yourself, be yourself, be yourself. Okay, well, then you go in and you meet all these girls and you can't be yourself. Because mm-hmm. if you are yourself, they're not going to like you. And it's, you know, it's like I rushed and I got into a sorority and, you know, the sorority took us out to go celebrate. And as soon as I got on to the bus to go to Dave and Buster's to celebrate, you know, it's all the questions are, so what's your body count? What drugs do you like to do? And I was like, whoa, this is
where did this come from?
Yeah, this is not what I signed up for. And it's like they kind of, when you're rushing, they hide the actual truth to make you think that this is like a great, you know, kind of community that you want to be in, and it's mm-hmm. about your philanthropy and just everything, like, great, whatever, but it's not.
Well, and college is not Elle Woods.
Oh, yeah, no.
This is not Legally Blonde. I mean, it is so sad. I think so many girls compromise, mm-hmm. right? They may come into college with this value system or, and a lot of times maybe you were a specific way in high school and you mm-hmm. decide, you know what? I don't want to be that version of me anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to be a different version. And when you have an opportunity to do differently and you start down that path, depending upon how much growth that you've had,
mm-hmm.
you either can be drugged back into it or mm-hmm. you put a boundary in place.
Yeah.
And then you realize it's going to be what you perceive as a lonely path for a little while.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something that definitely I've experienced is it's like, you know, I've always kind of had, you know, my truth and the path I want to be on. And I'm very, you know, strong about that and about being myself. And so I went into college in like a great headspace being like, you know, like I want to live a healthy lifestyle and started putting these things in line to live that lifestyle. But then you get there and it's like, whoa. And I think a lot of people actually kind of went down that same path where, you know what you want in life, you know, this healthy lifestyle that you desire, but then you get to college and I think a lot of people actually changed it to now mm-hmm. a very unhealthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
But for me, I think I kind of stuck by it and was like, I guess for a little bit, like, I guess the start of college, I really was like, oh, like I want to go out and, you know, participate.
Yeah.
But then you go out and you experience it. And then I was like, I don't want to do this. And,
yeah, because, you know, it goes against, right?
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, even some of the whiteboards that you and I have done, it's like, you know, you talk about, and one of the exercises, you know, you declare what you want in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide, okay, what characteristics, traits do I possess to make that come to mm-hmm. fruition, and what don't I, and what needs to go?
Yeah.
And when you get to a place of, you know, you're basically, you got to make a decision,
mm-hmm.
right? And so then you have to go back on that foundational value and the foundational belief system. So for you, I know you mentioned your conservative value. So,
mm-hmm.
so for you, how was that? What did that look like in your home? You know, because so much of what we live out in our life, you know, becomes our, what we learn through osmosis of living within our, you know, I mean, you have two brothers and a mom and a dad. So it's like, you know, it's like, it looks like that. So what do you think it was that gave you that solid, you know, that, like, I know I want to come back to here. I know what my truth is. I
mm-hmm.
know what my values are. And because you are living against the grain,
mm-hmm.
that's where the chaos starts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of it is like, you know, growing up, like I knew nothing about politics and, you know, that wasn't what my parents like raised us on. We never talked about that growing up. But then you grow up and we were, I guess, very morally, I don't know, what's the word, but like healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. They gave us really good, I guess, life skills and everything.
Yeah.
But that it was the more conservative way of doing things. And I think a lot of that brought me to, you know, how I am today. Like, especially, like, in my family, it's a huge thing to us, like, family first. Like,
mm-hmm.
family dinner still. I come home from college all the time, spend time with my family. I love my family more than anything. And I think that plays a big role into how I am today. And then also it just goes down to, you know, treating yourself healthy, mentally, physically, And just...
Well, you have a foundational faith, too, a little bit. I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It's definitely not like... We always continue to grow in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was like when you were younger, that was a part of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we went to church growing up, and faith was a big thing in our family. But I don't know. I think it definitely has to do with the way you grow up. And I think a lot of people, you know, we all grow up differently, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I definitely think you can tell, you know.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And so then your mom and your dad divorced,
mm-hmm.
and then you have maintained a great relationship with them both.
Yeah. They've done an amazing job.
Yeah. So what do you think, like, moving forward for you, mm-hmm. whenever you get to where you're going with being married or whatever you want to do with your life and that, what do you think you'll take away that's really important to you, and what do you think that you don't want to pull forward into your family?
Oh, that's a big question. I definitely think, I think something that I've noticed throughout just life in general, and I think some people may not think this is a big deal, but definitely family dinners. I know you do that too with your family, but that is probably, like, the biggest thing that I need in a family.
Yeah.
Is I want a family that is very connected and can sit down almost all the time together and eat and talk. And I think that's huge. And I have a lot of friends that actually rarely have family dinners.
Yes.
And it's kind of crazy.
It is a rarity
it's
today.
It's weird because it's like you look at it and it's like, oh, it's just a family dinner. But it actually, like, I think it lays out a huge path for your future. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think it gives each person, as you start to grow up, because the family dinner table, and we always joke about, if we could build a big dinner table, we would probably all be on the same page instead of all so divided in this world. But it brings you back, first of all, the kitchen and the family is the heart of the home, right? So we nourish ourselves, we nourish our family, mm-hmm. but it gives you an opportunity in a really safe space to kind of, like, express yourself.
Yeah.
And I think families that don't have that, they become farther and farther and farther apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're doing the quick drive through or the hello, how are you? And there's no depth.
Yeah.
And I think family dinners, in my opinion, do you agree? It just brings more depth to a family.
Oh, 100%. I think it goes back to, you know, decide, even, like, this might sound a little silly, but, like, going back to when you're deciding with your family what you guys are going to eat for dinner, and then just physically cooking in the kitchen together. It's so fun. I love it. I mean, it's also built like a great foundation for me, because now I know how to cook. Mm-hmm. I know how to treat myself with healthy food and everything. So,
which is huge, by the way, because you have a good relationship with that. And that's one reason why
mm-hmm.
I wanted to have you on, is because you know the value, and your mom's brought you up that way.
Yeah.
You know the value of your health and your well-being.
Yeah. I mean, it's healthy, like, physically for your body, but I also just think for, like, you know, family wise,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing. I love it. And then going down to sitting down at the table and talking and getting to eat and just enjoying your family together. And that's a huge thing. Definitely something that, like, I need in my family in the future, and that I hope to give my kids when they grow up, or, you know.
And you will. I mean, because, and you learned all that. So switching gears a little bit, mm-hmm. in college, you're going for business, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so far as a sophomore, what do you think how do you think that path is going for you?
Not good.
Bluntly honest.
Yeah. It's difficult because it's, you know, I think business is, like, a very broad thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can definitely learn without college. It's, you know, you can teach yourself it, and...
Well, we had Drew on, my other ambassador, on, and he was just like... YouTube's a great platform to learn.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I listened to that and I was like, he's so right. I mean, I think I've learned more from YouTube than I have in school. And
you know what? The tuition isn't bad.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, the tuition's horrible.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, I'm taking business classes, and for the first month, or semester, actually, of taking a business class, the only thing we learned was how to give, like, a proper handshake. And I was like, I could have learned that in 10 minutes. Yeah.
You should learn that in kindergarten.
Oh, exactly. I know. And, I mean, even, I think I've spent at least 2 semesters learning how to do a resume. And it's
really?
It's crazy to me. And it's crazy that, you know, we're spending so much money on college these days for something that the education is just so little. It's so little. I mean, it's crazy to me.
Well, and I think there's a lot of fluff. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of fluff versus, like, I know, like, a vocational school, you take a target thing, you know, you take a targeted approach to what you want and you educate yourself in that area. Because basically, from what I can tell with some, a lot of the kids I work with, the college part of it, all the gen ed classes, a lot of them are, like I said, they're just fluff.
Yeah. You know? Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, the math classes I'm taking for business are absolutely just, it blows my mind that I'm spending, you know, however much money on college for, you know, stuff I've either learned in high school or stuff that I will never learn again. Or never need to know. It's just, to me, it feels like a big waste of time. It really does. And especially with business, it's like, I mean, personally, you know, I'm not happy with business. And I know that, you know, business is maybe not something that I want to go into. And it's time for me to find something that I am going to enjoy. And it just, right now, it's just a big waste of time.
So if you had your decisions, and if you knew, what direction would you take right now?
Definitely architectural design. I'd love to get my real estate license, which you don't need college for. Honestly, just going into something in the home business, I think that that's something that I could do for a lifetime.
Well, and talk about that too, because that is by way of osmosis. Yeah. So this is how you grew up.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
Go talk about
goes
that
back
a little
to
bit.
Family.
Yeah.
I mean, for generations on my dad's side, you know, his dad was a builder, my dad's a builder, and I grew up, you know, my dad would be like, hey, come to work with me, and I'd go to work, and he would show me these amazing houses that he worked on, and that, to me, has always inspired me to want to almost be just like him. Like, there's something also so beautiful about homes, like, you know, that's the space that you build your family in, and, you know, like we said, like, you're in the kitchen, and it's really, like, also just goes down to the actual architectural design of it is, like, how do you want your house laid out? How do you want your family to be? Do you want, you know, your kitchen to be big enough to where everyone can fit in it and you can all have a space to gather? I love that. I could do it forever.
Yeah, and I think when something's like that, I mean, I was the same way with my dad, but I think for something like that, because you've gone for a couple of years, you've kind of seen, you've experimented, you understand, how confident would you be if you decided to take that path?
Very.
Very,
very
okay.
confident, yeah. Yeah. I think that, I mean, I do it on my free time. So I think it's something that I could just, I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's definitely, I would much rather be happy and have it be difficult than be unhappy and still difficult.
Okay, you know? Say that again. Say it again.
I'd much rather have it be difficult but have myself be happy than unhappy and difficult.
Yeah, and the funny thing is we always talk about doing the hard thing now so that you have a better life and an easier life in the future. And that's where everybody, I think your generation, number one, they're way too soft. You know,
oh my gosh.
the guys, we always talk about the strength of a young man in today's world. It's really a tough thing to come by. So what do you think your generation, if we had to, and we'll go through a couple, but what do you think the number one or top three, let's do that.
Okay.
Top three things that you think your generation struggles with more than, because one of the things that makes me crazy is whenever generations try to keep score on how much they went through, like someone that's older than you, well, you have it easier, you have it
you
easy.
Have the, yeah.
You, and the thing is every generation has had their cross to bear, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got like the greatest generation that had wars.
Yeah.
You know, you got, but your generation has also gone through, you know, you guys went through 9/11. You were very young though. You know, you went through 9/11, you went through, you know, I mean, the economy collapsed, you went through all kinds. And then on top of that, you're in a complete and utter shit show right now in the world. Confusion, right? And then you've got social media and then you're living it out loud. And so I had one of my clients a little bit before you came in here, and we were looking back at her Instagram like from years ago, and she's like, what the heck was I thinking posting some of these things, you know, as a young girl? So what do you think the top three things are for Gen Z? I mean, and we know that age group is from 1997 to 2015.
Okay.
So that's the age group. So what do you think the top three things are that your generation that you see is really struggling with today?
I think there's so much. Definitely, I think probably the root of it is social media. I think it's very obvious to everybody, but nobody really wants to
admit it.
Sit down, talk about it, and delete it. And don't get me wrong, I'm on social media, but, you know, I think it's healthy to have a boundary set within yourself. Like I've said to you before, yeah. Like, I have my notifications turned off. I don't want to be distracted by it. I don't, you know, if I'm bored at night and I choose to go on it, then I choose to go on it. But I don't want to be in the middle of my day and see all these Snapchats popping up and get distracted by it. So I definitely think social media is a huge, it plays a huge role in our generation today. Especially, I think it also leads into, you know, someone's self-confidence and self-esteem and mm-hmm. just trying to keep up and post pictures and just...
Well, it becomes building the house of cards, right? It becomes like you want, it's like whenever you have a party and nobody's talking, they're all on their phones to take pictures of if they are having fun, to show that they are having fun to the outside world. Meanwhile, they're at the party not talking to anybody.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny to me. Yeah, that's a huge thing. Or even just, you know, the whole thing of going out and taking these pictures of in your swimsuit just mm-hmm. to post on it and then have all these guys, you know, DM you, and that's how you get your attention, and it's really sad, I think. But there's also the whole thing with the cancel culture on social media. You can't speak your truth.
Yeah.
And
but you can't cancel real life.
Exactly. That's the thing, is it's, you know, it's definitely two-sided, and it's really sad to see where we've come from. And
so what's number two?
Probably I would say this whole hookup culture definitely weighs in on our generation a lot.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And it's taking a toll on our generation a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that goes down to having basic conversations with somebody. Especially in college, it's like, you know, you only talk to people based off of kind of like their looks or, I guess, your frat or sorority mm-hmm. status.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
And that weighs in a lot on our generation because, you know, you can't have a real down-to-earth conversation with a lot of people because that's what they are looking for, is this whole hookup, like, okay, I'll talk to you if you're pretty enough to kiss me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I don't want to have a conversation with you anyways
then. Yeah, exactly. Well, they just showed their hand, right? It's kind of like Tinder, swipe left, the next one. And that's the thing, too.
That's
what
it is, yeah.
Well, yeah, when you look at when you said, like, the hookup culture, the problem is there's too many options, right? Because and when there's too many options, there's no commitment. And when there's no commitment, there's no value.
Yes.
And so it just kind of keeps moving down that, you know, and then me being older, I get to have that viewpoint of seeing, mm-hmm. you know, and like looking at it. And I value, and, you know, I love you guys so much that I work with it. It's like you guys are getting the message, you know, much quicker, and you see it and you can call it out.
Yeah.
But then it comes down to being able to then put that boundary in place for yourself, mm-hmm. right? So how often do you see that within your, like, friend group or even just, like, your little bubble where people know it, they say it, they call it out, but then they can't walk it on their own?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I see, you know, I mean, especially, like, within my friend group, you know, it's a lot of, oh, I'm never doing this again, and I don't like this.
The next day.
And, exactly. And then it's, oh, this is so bad, like, I'm never going to drink again because it's unhealthy and I don't feel good, or, you know, this hookup culture, I'm never, you know, I'm waiting, you know, I'm not going to date anyone unless if it's serious, and then within the next hour, you're back to.
Yeah, we're back, which we talk about that, right? We talk about, like, if you can attach to the feeling of making the right decisions and choices, you would understand that nobody ever woke up Saturday morning and go, God, I feel great, this sucks, I got to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Right. They all, I mean, it's when you go out that night with not the consideration of your Saturday morning plans and you feel like shit the next morning.
Yeah.
That's, and then it's like, then it's that cycle all over again.
Yeah.
Right. And then on top of it, if there's a hookup in the middle.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's all meaningless too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, to me, it's honestly just for status of maybe making yourself feel like you fit in.
I agree.
I don't know what it is, but it's, you know, you go out, you drink, you spend your money, and then you look for a hookup. And then you hook up, and then you go home, and you know, you don't feel good. You are now, you know, you lowered your self-esteem, you know, mm-hmm. you don't...
Well, you lowered your standards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. and it's, you know, it's sad. And then you realize the next day, oh, you know, that was bad for me, and I shouldn't do that again. But then the next hour, you're out again. And
so what do you think that is? What do you think that is? What do you think it is so hard? Is it the influence of people around you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so then, therefore, if you become the five people that you hang out with, what does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, it's
you have to audit who you're with,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, honestly. And I think that's a big part of it, is who you hang around with. Like, it was kind of difficult going into my first year of college because, you know, you want to go out, you want to make friends. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, to me, you know, going out is the only way to make friends. There's not a happy middle, you know, because you stay in, you don't make friends. You go out, you also don't really make friends.
Mm-hmm. Just acquaintances.
Exactly. Yeah. And then if someone is friendly to you, they're probably drunk, and it's probably very fake. So yeah. It's kind of like...
Or there's an agenda if it's opposite sex.
Exactly. Yeah. So where is the happy, you know, middle of finding a good group of friends that are healthy and you can create a good relationship with based off of, you know, all the healthy things in life that, you know, you desire? And that's kind of like the hard part, is... You can't really find that in college.
Yeah. Well, so, and you have to say no to a lot of things. And I think lot of people don't either possess the discipline or understand that when you say no to certain things, you're actually saying yes to an abundant more of it. You know, I mean, you wake up, you feel good about yourself, you made the right decision. And whenever you make the right decision, you put yourself in a good environment.
Oh, yeah.
You start to realize that you're actually feeding yourself. And we've talked about, like, every hookup is a complete, it completely dilutes you and detaches you from your soul, especially for girls. Guys might be different, but girls. And then it, depending upon how far you guys did, what your definition of hookup is, whether it's just kissing, making out, or you go all the way, whatever it is, because everybody can say what they want to say, but there's a definition across the board that is everybody else is their own.
Yes.
Right? It's like, I can say this, but you can say that.
Like hookup means so many different things.
So many different things. And so it's like, and if you do the hookup and you go all the way and you have sex, then the problem is, and we've talked about this before, you're parabonded to that guy. And then there comes down to where, you know, I mean, your body does release certain things. And so it's like, wait a minute, I'm actually, I don't want to see him anymore because I feel like crap. But why do I actually bring this shit back into my life?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Where is this coming from?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I had someone say to me, this was when I was deciding where I was going to live next year. So I had, like, my friend group, and we're all talking about it. And one of the girls was like, oh, like, I don't want to live with you. You know, you don't go out, you're lame. And I was like... all right, I just think I'm healthy.
Yeah. Or we can say we're healthy.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's like, that's the standard. If you go out, you're cool enough. If you don't, but it's like, in reality, it's like, there is no positive ending to going out.
No.
Nothing. It's always very predictable too. Okay. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. All right. I'm going to go to the bar.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink. I'm going to feel like crap the next day. And then I'm going to sit and question my actions. Right.
Yeah, well, you start to beat yourself up, right?
Yeah, what's the
because
positive?
Because you've let yourself down.
Exactly.
Right? It's like when you say this and you don't, it's like I always say, keep the promises you make to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how you build self-esteem and self-confidence, is you love yourself enough to go, okay, I don't want to put myself in that position because I know the outcome, which is the definition of insanity if we do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And wanting something different. And I think, too, I think the big thing about the relationship thing, we'll sit on that for a little bit longer, and then I want to do one more of the challenge, but I think, too, the thing with the relationship is that the relationships have been romanticized on a lot of social media, to where you think that it's this and it's that and what people see. And that goes back to building that false narrative, versus relationships are if you're compatible, relationships are easy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you can decide where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and so if it's easy, that part of it, it's not necessarily where you have to go, oh, my God, we're going to make it work. We're going to give it another shot. We're going to keep going. If it's a compatibility of personality and aligned morals and values, and that's half of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you're like, I feel really good when I'm with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, if we pay attention to the intuition, because we've been kind of detached from our intuition, too. Intentionally. So then you go back to, okay, so then if that's what we're going to go, you start to then grow as a couple. Then you have to be really careful to where you know, you don't stop your own growth as an individual and start growing as a couple without a long-range plan,
mm-hmm.
right? Because then that's whenever we kind of have that complete disruption in your growth as as an individual. Because now you're growing for the other person, but you're not even figuring out who you are yet.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like with the friends of you of yours and people that you've seen that have dated and have had long-term relationships, has any of them lasted from high school to college and on?
No.
No. So would you say then that the version that you are in high school and college, it's really seeking and searching who you are as an individual. And then when you get to that place, then you can start looking for that life partner.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So then is dating really, should we be dating in, like, you know, when you're super young and it's a double standard, right? Because you do learn about relationships, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think is the number one thing that jacks that up?
That
messes up. So like if you're dating, okay, so if you're dating someone and you everything's fine, but you kind of start to like experiment through life. What do you think it is that more than anything that takes a healthy relationship of getting to know each other, compatibility, what do you think it is that takes it off course in general?
Well, that's a loaded question. I think that, like, what takes it off course to where it doesn't work?
Yeah. What one component
probably
do you think?
Probably media, social media.
Social media, and what about your, what's the best way to put it? So like, what about if it's, like, once you start to, like, engage in the relationship differently? So if you become physical.
Okay.
Okay? So if you then become physical and you do end up having sex with someone at a very young age, do you think that is, if you hadn't done that, maybe the relationship would be different?
Yeah. I think that when you rush, especially something that special, it's going to kind of, it's definitely going to change
you know,
the path of where your relationship is going to go. So I think it's also very important, like you and I say all the time, you know, you have to have, like, what is it? You have your, like, actual communication and
you
like,
get to
trust.
Know.
And,
yeah, exactly.
And then once you have all of these things set in place, then you can move on to the next step.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. And I think that, like, kind of going back to, like, college and everything, is it's all, I think the big standard is to kind of hook up and have sex with whoever. And then you get into the real world and you don't know how to function in a real relationship. You don't know how to build trust, communication, and something that's actually healthy. So, in like, I think a lot of people need to realize that, you know, the big picture in college isn't to have sex and meaningless hookups. It's to, you know, find yourself and create relationships, friendships with people. And then once you learn how to, you know, kind of do
navigate,
all that,
yeah.
then you will find a healthy relationship. But the problem is that everybody these days is kind of going down that path of the meaningless hookups and
mm-hmm.
everything. So, you know, I think a big part of my generation isn't going to know how to have a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
They're not going to know how to.
Would you say that's number three?
Yeah, that's a big thing. It's, you know, it's kind of scary to think about that, like, okay, like, you know, whatever partners are going to end up together, they may not know how to even function in a relationship without sex,
mm-hmm.
without hookups, or, you know, and it's not about that. It's about, you know, having trust and communication with your partner and loving them.
Well, and I think when you put that first, There's a lot of questions, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions. And in a relationship that's based on that, especially at a young age, it also kind of, it sends a message for the girls that that's their only worth.
Yeah. And it's sad because I feel like kind of, maybe just a little, like my generation feels that love is sex.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you do that when you do love somebody,
mm-hmm.
but that's not what makes love.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the big disconnect and...
Well, sex, I think, in your generation has become transactional.
Yeah.
You know?
So meaningless.
Versus intimacy.
Oh, yeah. So
right?
meaningless. And it's so casual.
Mm-hmm.
It's so normal that, what?
Yeah. Like, it's crazy how far we've gone down that path, you know, as a society, as a culture, you know, as whatever it was. And I think the influences, besides social media, I think it's definitely music. I think it's definitely movies and film. I think there's a lot of outside noise that kind of then you see, oh my God, it's so amazing if you, and the problem is that, you know, with whoever you're going to do life with, yes, having a super healthy sex life is really important, but that's like one point of what that is. Everything else, I think, and that's my concern too about Gen Z is that, you know, I think you said it right, is like they think that, you know, that love equals sex, you know, and it's so skewed. And then you look at all the layers of the conversations that you can't speak your truth if you follow your morals and values, which I always tell you guys, you can't change the world if you look just like it. And to live against the grain is to live authentically, especially in today's world. I mean, I call you guys modern day rebels, right? Because it really means that, you know, I choose, like you said a little bit ago, you said you're, you know, family first, right? And so family first, foundational values are first, you know, and then when you're put in an environment to where you're tested, that's when you got to decide, you know, your mental toughness, your discipline, how, you know, how you're going to stick to that.
Yeah.
And the thing, the more than anything, I think, like with the work that we do in here and even with through these podcasts, is that everybody can correct course correct at any moment.
Yeah.
Right. There is no judgment or condemnation. It's like let's course correct at any moment.
Yeah.
And I think for me, what bothers me so much is that when you guys try to and start to, you've either got a group that pulls you back, or you've got quote unquote influencers in your world through social media or wherever, and even podcasts. I mean, one of the worst podcasts I think is out there for young girls is Call Her Daddy.
Oh.
I think it's horrible. I hope you guys are listening. Because I mean, literally, I think it's horrible because I think that you have taken our strong young women that are beautiful feminine.
Yeah.
And you've diluted them down because, you know, you're not a daddy.
Yeah.
Okay? And to think that you are is a perversion of what strong young women really are.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it's kind of also degrading to, like, kind of, I know you and I have talked about this, but the whole, I think it kind of leans into the boss babe culture.
Yes.
And then to me, it's kind of dilutes masculine men.
100%.
And it's sad because that's what our generation depends on now.
Our world depends on that.
It's... I don't want to be a boss babe.
No. And I think people get it messed up too.
And right? I don't want to be a daddy either.
No. Absolutely not. So, but the language is what gets everybody messed up, right? It's like, well, this is, and it's supposed to be this great thing. I'm like, no, but most of the girls that are on there, I mean, I would love to talk to them. Because what happens is that you get this so skewed in your mind, then you make your decisions and choices, and then all of a sudden you're going to wake up one day and go, this isn't what I want.
Exactly. I think it's, to me, it's kind of like, like we said, like social media plays a huge part in this. You know, you can know your truth, but the social media will always change you to like think differently and act differently. Meanwhile, in the back of your head, you know your truth. You know what's right and wrong.
Right.
You know what you want to live as and everything. And I think a lot of girls listen to, you know, all these songs and they watch the shows and the podcast of being a boss babe, and then I think one day, you know, we're all gonna wake up and say, hey, like, this is
that
not
wasn't
what I want.
Exactly, that was, and
especially
then,
when we're older, it's
then you can't go backwards. I mean, and I think let me take that, you can always, like I said, course correct, but there are specific things in life that you will miss the boat on.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, like, right now the conversation is about, and I can see the narrative shifting a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit to where women who are very strong feminine and who have very good foundational goals as far as a family and about what comes first and their priorities, I think they're starting to be a little bit more vocal.
Yeah.
Because they're seeing, I mean, if what we were doing was working, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge thing to ask yourself.
Yeah.
If what we were doing, would we be where we are right now? You know, and I think more importantly that you have to ask yourself that at every moment in time if you're questioning a specific outcome.
Yeah.
You know, if what I was doing was working, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Right? And then do you understand that in order to get a different outcome, you do a different behavior?
Yeah.
And then you have these like I said, these influences who pretend or have this life that they've said that they've built, and you look at the truth of it, it's empty. They're lost, they're broken. And then you look at that and go, okay, how's that working for you?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of it is like, I think this also goes back to college and also with influencers. Like, you know, you take part in all these actions that you know are unhealthy for yourself, like going out and hookup culture and all this social media stuff and whatever. And then you go on social media again and you post on it how much you hate all of this and how much you are depressed and whatever.
Right.
But then you go right back out and you do the same actions and you're looking for a different result every time, but you just keep getting the same thing because your actions are just repeating themselves over and over. I mean, the amount of girls that I see post on social media, like, oh, I'm just so sad, like, all this stuff is happening, and, you know, but then you go right back out, and you're creating the same actions that are going to lead to the same outcome every single time, but no one really...
I don't think they correlate the two together.
Yeah.
I don't think they realize, oh, wait a minute, for every, you know, cause, there's a reaction, right? And so for every action, there's a reaction, there's a decision and a choice that was made. And so then you have to go back and then we can go down this rabbit hole too sometime, but it's like whenever you realize that, how healthy are you? And it's like the four components. So it's spiritually, psychologically, biologically, and physically.
Mm-hmm.
So those four components, you know, when they're aligned holistically, we make really good choices.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're put into an environment like a college that doesn't align with you morally, you know, you may be going for academics or lifestyle. So, you know, when you do that and then you're kind of tested, you have the strength and conviction to know, you know what, I'm not going to go down that path. And when you realize that you're an outlier and you're the only one standing on the outside, but I can tell you right now, if that is you, stay on the outside.
Yeah.
Stay on the outside.
Don't go on the inside.
Don't go on the inside because then you're going to look just like it, right? You're going to look just like it. So, okay, so closing remarks really quick. What do you think that you would want people to know about your generation that maybe they don't know or they don't see?
I think there's a lot of us out there that kind of, like, this whole podcast, like, kind of think this way, but no one talks about it. And I think that that's something huge that our generation needs to realize is that, you know, we I think a lot of us think the same way, and we all know what's right and wrong.
Right.
But I think it's just comes down to acting upon it. And I think that's huge because not a lot of people talk about it or act upon it or stand up for themselves or, you know, and it's just kind of degrading us.
Well, and I think one of the biggest things, too, is that it stops when you say it stops.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a really powerful place to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, to realize that this insanity of where my life is going stops when I say it stops.
Yeah.
You have that much power, which is crazy to think that everybody thinks that they're a victim and that the world, oh, my God, this, oh, my gosh, that. It's like, no, it stops when you say it stops.
Stops, exactly. Yeah, you know? And a lot of it is, you know, like the cancel culture. You don't have to cancel yourself to stop it all. You don't have to. You don't have to give in to whatever you say is wrong or your truth is wrong. You know, we all have a right to speak our truth and... It just, like you said, it stops when we say it stops, so.
Yeah, and so I think the biggest thing for me with this podcast, Ellie, and I really appreciate your time, too, because I think that to know that your voice, and I truly believe this, that you guys are the majority.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that you're the majority, but I think that we've been so gotten to a place of afraid to speak because you can't make anyone feel bad. Well, that's ridiculous. And you can't offend anyone. You're going to offend people when you speak your truth, and you got to be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these things, but we're so worried about what other people think that we're willing to sacrifice our well-being over being liked.
Exactly.
And your generation is going to pay a heavy price.
Oh, yeah. And I think our generation is the future. And, the like, if anyone was to change whatever the future holds in the next how many years, it's going to be our generation. And I think a lot of us need to start speaking up and changing it. And
I agree.
Saying no.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Your voice. I appreciate the strength in it too, babe, because I think that it's just a start, right? And the more that we have these conversations and the more that people realize they're not alone in wanting to stand by and like walk away from what they see as this thing that's pulling them towards it, I really think that you're going to find that, you know, the other side and the you know, the perversion and all that kind of stuff is really loud.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that you know, we're louder whenever we're collectively realizing that we are morally aligned.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We can all scream a little bit louder.
Exactly. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you guys. Please like and subscribe. Leave us a comment. whatever they tell you to do at the end of the podcast. And we will see you again. Thank you so much. And please go out and create your own ripple effect of change. Thank you for joining us today on the TLM Method podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed the time that you've spent with us. And more importantly, I hope that we make you think. For more information about what we do, our work, and our message, please visit us at our website at officiallytracymartin.com, and that Tracy is T-R-A-C-E-Y, or you can find us on Instagram at officiallytracymartin. We look forward to having you with us for more episodes of the TLM Method podcast.